It's time to turn the spotlight on local, national, and international affairs. Plus some goss and scandal. And here's the man that does that so well, Mitchell Dye.
Good morning, and a cast of thousands next door for the breakfast program this morning. Thank you very much to all of them. They've done a fantastic job once again, and they'll be back next Monday morning starting at 7 a.m. sharp. And it's a very good morning to everyone out there. It's great to be back on the pulse for another week, and we're into February now, and it's starting to feel like things are getting back to normal. We've got a really big, long lineup of guests joining us over the next couple of days. Coming up today, we'll be speaking for the very first time with Darren Cheeseman. This is the man that wants to take Andrew Catos's job from him, a member for South Barwon. So it'll be interesting to hear from him what his main pitch is going to be to the voters come November the 24th. We'll also have Davina Montgomery back in the studio with us this morning to talk about a huge range of issues. We're talking about the Great Barrier Reef and reef conservation with one of the people from up there on the front line. We'll have Toby Hagen on as well. So it's just going to be a big, huge program. And of course, it wouldn't be complete on a Monday without a look at all things sport. But first of all, it's a very great pleasure to welcome to the studio, I think his official title would be program producer for the Sustainable Hour, that celebrated program on a Wednesday morning from 11 o'clock. Rusty, welcome back to Mitchell's Front Page.
Thank you, Mitch.
Now, you wanted to come on today to talk about the issues of road safety, which is a very broad topic, but it's one that is always on top of people's minds because we see campaigns, we see accidents, and most of us drive around or have some connections to the road. So what's your main concerns with road safety?
Well, you've actually touched upon it. You do see these campaigns, but I'll start with the broad picture and then bring it back to a local issue. I have a very big interest in road safety. There are many reasons why, and a lot of that's to do with my background. And on my background, people, because I'm known as the Rusty Bikesmith, the bike man, and amongst several other things, but people find it surprising that I have a background in motorsport. And when I was much younger and sillier, probably, and at a major level. So, but I had the benefit of coming through the process when they had road safety councils. We were able to go onto a controlled area, similar to what, there's one in Melbourne for bicycles for young kids. There's certainly one in Sydney. I can't remember where the one in Melbourne is. I know where the one in Sydney is. Mm. And I think there's a couple in Sydney. Similar to that, but it was for vehicles. So we got, under instruction, fairly high training, including going on skid pans and things. That has disappeared for varying reasons. I then also, because I was involved in motorsport, did further advanced driving things. And that made it very hard for me. You know, you look around and I see mistakes everywhere. Look, I make mistakes too. And that's part of the problem. We've gone away from this proper education. So one of the things that we have proposed is that the Sustainable Hour will be running a number of campaigns this year.
Yes.
And we've kicked off last week with mentioning road safety. And I'll come to who else was on there last week. So what we looked at is we've come up with the idea that the model that's being used in Victoria and by local councils is broken. It needs a review. Both the council, the City of Greater Geelong, and the Andrews State Government have received a submission from us.
Yes.
And it's met with the normal response.
And what is that response? That what, they're looking into it or something?
What we had just before you came in, deathly silence. But that's not going to stop us.
Yeah.
Okay. So that also means that it was very fortunate, because we decided that last year, to program up this year. Very fortunate that we have before us the bike paths issue, which is a road safety issue as well, which is not being viewed that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a huge issue, the bike paths issue. Are you talking specifically about the one on High Street?
That's the one that's got the most controversy. And last week on the Sustainable Hour, which we podcast 201, we had the bike component, bike guys component on. This week we're having one of the traders, a representative of the traders in High Street.
Yeah.
Now we're trying to balance up the view so
it's
people
good to have that
can. That's right. Yeah. I actually would have liked them to be on the same program and hear it at the time, but you know, we've got a businessman and both are self-employed, so it's very hard to get them into a studio. But it was fortuitous. But I looked at how they're going about this, and I'm not happy with the process. I'm not happy with they're locking out possible alternatives.
Yes.
And what I would urge people to do is there is still another, inverted commas, information session coming up on the 13th of February. That'd be Tuesday, I think, at the Belmont Library between 3 and 6. Go along and, you know, at least have an informed opinion and then make a submission. But unfortunately, the submission's closed on the 16th of February. It's getting a bit tight by the time that one is there.
It's one of the biggest issues, isn't it, getting bike riders and car drivers to try and get along harmoniously. Mm. And there are terrible people in both camps. There are rogue. Yep. There are a lot of cyclists that do the right thing and have the lights and have high visibility so that drivers can see them. But there's also rogue cyclists that run red lights and ride up in, you know, 3, 4, 5 abreast. Then you've got rogue drivers as well. So it's a tough situation. Yep. I know that Mick's obviously a huge advocate for bike lanes, because when I was in the Q&A audience for their final Q&A for last year, his son, I think, was asking a question. Alex, that's right, did a great job asking about bike lanes, and he's obviously keen to see them rolled out. And we've got to think about, I suppose, where you put them, because it's really frustrating. There's some streets in Melbourne where they've put bike lanes up the sides, and it means that you can't stop at all as a car, and there's no safe place to stop. So I just, how do we get everyone working together is the question. I mean, I think what they've done down on Mallop Street with the green spine, I think that's a positive step. Do you, have you looked at that?
I'll wait till it's finished.
Yeah, because there's a whole extension going on through there, isn't there?
As you know, I haven't been here long. I had no say input. I've quickly seen the plans. I've left it to the other people. So I'll step out of that one. But
what do you think is the gold standard for bike lanes?
Well, it would be what people loosely refer to as the Copenhagen, where you got completely separated. The parking is next to the road. You're towards where the footpath would be. And in some of the European countries, they now have separate lights for the cyclists.
Have you seen the Veloway proposal as part of the Westgate Tunnel? The state government put it out. It's basically a separate freeway for bikes. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. But I think you're spot on to say that at the end of the day, they really do need to be separated for everyone to get along and for the cars to have the best of both worlds.
Part of what I did the introduction was it's more about education. That's where it's falling down. Now, we have bike ed, I think it is called, in schools.
I remember doing that.
So, it's been going that long.
But it's about things like, indicating where you're going to turn and safety.
Well, it's about safety, but in the driving, to get your driving license in this state, which wasn't where I did mine, there's very little on how you deal with bikes. Now, I can tell you is when I'm driving a motor vehicle, some cyclists are lucky it's me. Because amongst other things, I'm a bike coach.
Yeah.
So I know where they should be.
Yeah.
And if they're not doing it, I can adjust myself in the car either by speed or getting around them or slowing up or getting past them. But most drivers don't have that training.
That's right.
So it's back to this education is absolutely necessary to be able to get the two competing views. I'm also not happy with where they're placing them.
The bike lanes?
Yes.
Well, David is always a passionate advocate for all things road safety. What do you think?
They need a lot more work on it, but the government also needs to think very seriously about the distance they're going to require cars to keep away from cyclists.
I was just going to raise that meter matters.
And particularly down places like Great Ocean Road, where we get a lot of cyclists, a lot of motorcyclists, cars, tourists, and the cycle lane down there is woeful at best.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be that sort of rule that they've got to keep 2 metres or 3 metres apart means that cars got to go across a double line.
Yeah, I've seen that when you're driving along and you want to give the cyclists some clearance, but then you've got oncoming traffic.
It makes it very difficult, and something needs to be done and improved in roads like that, where even the Anglesey Road, they need to improve the bicycle lanes, because I noticed that the other day when I went down there, the potholed and all that, it makes it very difficult for cyclists to ride in them safely.
Because they get sort of the worst part of the road, don't they? Where they sort of fix up the middle part, but the shoulders maybe don't get as much attention.
None at all.
Well, hence my comment about I'm not happy with how council is placing them.
Yeah.
Just to add to that, what that meter matters is, it comes from the Amy Gillett Foundation, where it's when you're passing a cyclist, when a vehicle is moving to pass a cyclist, you are meant to leave 1 meter.
Mm.
But what people forget about is, for me to ride when there's cars parked, I have to be 1.5 meters out from that parked car.
Yeah.
So then there's my handlebars, which are a bit under 3/4 of a meter.
Yes.
And then there's you have to give another meter. So by that stage, yes, you are out towards the center of the road.
Yeah.
So there's some problem which they're not addressing.
Yeah.
I rode in today along from Ormond into Myer. And Ormond is a disaster.
Mm.
And yet that's down as a preferred bike path into the city.
Yeah.
Garbage.
The other thing I've noticed a lot of, obviously freeways aren't really designed for cyclists, and they don't even allow cyclists on freeways, I don't think, or most of them. There seems to be this trend now that we don't need emergency lanes, and we can just use the whole road for a freeway, which is all well and good when you're trying to widen the road, but I would have thought there needs to be a bit of a shoulder there, as you said, because then it's very easy for cars to be sort of drifting onto the wrong side of the road.
One of the things that you mentioned before is running a cycle path alongside a freeway.
Yep.
There is, I'm trying to recall where it is, but again, it's in Sydney where they did, it's the M5. Yeah, it's the M5, I think. They ran them along because they put a new subdivision out westish, southwestish, and they put in a great fancy bike path down the freeway. It has very little use. So they have to be very careful where they're planning these. Now, back to the Melbourne situation. I have had sessions with the City of Melbourne last year when I volunteered to go on this group, which didn't even... They're now saying they didn't even know I had volunteered, but that's council. I lose emails all the time.
Mm.
But I also had a discussion with one of the officers who seems to have conveniently forgotten it. But... So I have the Melbourne bike plans. I have spoken to the people who did it, and I'm aware there was lots of problems in being able to get those into a very crowded city. But overall, they've done a reasonably good job.
I wanted to ask you about cars turning left. How do we deal with that? Because quite often that means the car has to go into the bike lane, and there could be cyclists going up there, and the car might create an obstruction. So that's just another example of how we can't get everyone working together.
As my understanding in the state of Victoria is that a car cannot travel any more than 50 metres in a bike lane.
Correct, yeah.
So what you have to do is, as I said, I'm experienced. So you either get in front of them or you hold back and just wait those extra couple of seconds. Now, left-hand turn, if there's no bike box, then, because the bike box would put the rider in front of you.
Yes, correct.
And you stop back, so it gives the rider a chance to get out of your way. Now, where the rider's using the bike box incorrectly is, if they're coming up and the car's parked, they think they can go to the front of the bike box. They can't.
Mm.
They have to wait behind the turning vehicle. If the vehicle's indicating to turn left, then the cyclist is meant to sit behind the turning vehicle. If he's there first, it's a different situation. And they're doing it wrong all the time. Again, I get back to education.
Yep, that's exactly right. I've had incidents, one in the city of Sydney, where a cyclist was sort of coming up my right-hand side and I was already there. And then when a car gets the green arrow to turn right, they're not always doing a head check around to the right to see if anything's there. Cyclist wanted to go straight on my right-hand side when I was turning right, which...
There's blind spots.
Luckily, I saw him.
And Sydney has more problems than Melbourne trying to finish because of the narrow streets and things.
Yep. So, look, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, you've opened a whole can of worms today, but it's such a mess. I mean, we've got roads that aren't fit for purpose. We've got issues like turning left, which you've just described. We've got education. We've got oncoming traffic. I mean, where do you start?
Well, they have made a start.
The problem is it's not consistent, though.
Well, it's totally inconsistent.
And that's why it's so confusing.
And that doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help the poor cyclists. It doesn't help the people who live in those streets or the traders that are trying to do business in those streets, nor the car driver. Again, we have to, we've made a submission to council, and what that was is I have asked the we have looked at asking the state government to do a complete review of how road safety is delivered, because Victoria, it is a schmozzle. And other states have realised, including West Australia and New South Wales, are going back to, and I'll use the standard term, they've all got fancy different titles, but they are basically road safety councils. That we don't have that in Victoria. That's the submission to state government, and it's on the front with all councils in Victoria. We're proposing what we would call as a municipal road safety council. Well, now, that idea I pinched from, strangely enough, Denmark. Don't know how that happened, but they have municipal road safety councils. I can't remember how many councils there are in Denmark. I'll say there's about 98.
Yep.
So they've really got about 80 of them or so, because if they're a small one, then obviously a few would join together.
Correct, yeah.
Because you can't support it otherwise.
Yeah. Now, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much for coming in this morning to tell us about it. And I think just starting the debate has been important. And I think our next guest is going to have something to say about this as well, Toby Hagen, our motoring correspondent. But I really appreciate you coming in to raise the issues.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you very much. Rusty, their program producer for the Sustainable Hour every Wednesday from 11 o'clock right here on The Pulse.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.